We actually have this week and next week left of reading the Bible through in a year. I just want to encourage you. Reading the Bible through in a year is a worthy goal, and I realize that life gets in the way sometimes, and perhaps you started this journey and you've just got a little bit to go, but you're behind. I just want to encourage you that keep going. The important part is reading through Scripture. The important part isn't necessarily doing it through in a year. So to get the Word of God within us so that we may not sin against Him is the most important thing. So I just want to encourage you that if you did lag behind for whatever reason, and we all have great reasons for doing that at times, encourage you to keep going. This is week 51 of Around the Bible in 366 days. And if you are following along, we have just today read through the book of Philemon. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is Philemon. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the book of Philemon, it's right before Hebrews and right after the book of Titus. Philemon is the last definite book that we know of in our canon of Scripture that we definitely know Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote. Hebrews, it's a possibility he wrote it. It's also a possibility that others wrote it. So as of this moment, authoritatively, we do not know the author of Hebrews. But Philemon is definitely Paul's letter. And it's only a chapter long. And we're going to concentrate on a couple of verses and then really focus in on one verse. So if you're in Philemon, I'm going to start reading verse 4. Paul says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brothers, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just pray that this passage of Scripture would come alive to us. Lord, that you would speak into our hearts. Lord, you would show us something we might be missing. God, that you would open up a door to better understand you, to better understand your mission, to better understand our individual calling, to better understand the corporate calling of this church even. God, we thank you. We pray for encouragement. Just as Paul is encouraging Philemon and other brothers that are around him, God, that you would encourage our hearts this morning. Lord, we also pray that any thought would be taken captive. Lord, we pray anything that is distracting us or could distract us, Lord, would be stopped so that we can clearly understand your word as we unpack it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. So I'm going to really focus on verse 6 of Philemon. Verse 6, again, says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. In some ways, this is kind of a continuation of last week, and last week I used the whiteboard, so decided to do it again this week because I have another equation for you. Does anybody remember the equation from last week? This is awesome. Thank you, thank you. Even if it's not true, I appreciate that. Thank you for that hand. Good, good. Yeah, so actually it was reconciliation equals demonstration plus power. So reconciliation to the Father, that we are reconciled to Him. He comes after us. Remember we talked about the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son and how he went away and he went about his life just living it the way he wanted to and spent all of his money. And remember, instead of the Father punishing him or holding it against him, the Father opened his arms towards him and ran towards him and poured out his love upon him and put a robe on and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and accepted him back in. That was reconciliation. Their relationship was torn apart because of the choice of the Son, just as our relationship with God the Father is torn apart because of our choices. And quite honestly, because we're even born into sin, that from the very moment that we're born, we are born with a sin nature that is in enmity with God. And God created a way through his Son, Christ Jesus, that would reconcile us to himself. And that is through reconciliation equals demonstration plus power. The power is from the Holy Spirit. The demonstration is of that power from the Holy Spirit. That's how you and I have become saved. That's how you and I have accepted Jesus, have surrendered our hearts, our lives to him, and put our trust in him. The scripture that we looked at was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we also saw that not only are we reconciled, but we're given the gift or given the calling to also have the ministry of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors of Christ and we're making our plea. He's making his plea through us. Be reconciled to God. And so we're not only reconciled, but we're also called to reconcile others. And so here's another equation. I first want to start with sharing our faith. I want you to call out to me again, what does that look like? It's easy to say it, that I share my faith or I should share my faith, but what does that look like for you? And again, one word or small or a small sentence for descriptors. What is sharing our faith? What does it look like? Neighbors, good. Yeah, in order to share with others, there has to be others, and it's certainly our neighbors. What else? Transparent, being real. That's kind of a buzzword right now, but it's true. Testimony, very good. I think of the blind man. Remember when he was healed and they kept asking him questions. Who is this Jesus? Where did he come from? How did he heal you? And he's like, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And likewise, we can share the same thing. This is what Christ Jesus did in my life. That's testimony. Good. What else? Showing, yes, love. So this is a biggie. This is a biggie. Scripture says that we show the world or we show other men our love. Or, excuse me. We do show the world that we are Christian by our love for one for another. So that's incredible. That's one of the ways that we show who Jesus is. One of the ways that we relate to other people. One of the ways we share our faith is through love. Good. Couple more. Teaching. Teaching anyone, but especially our children. Good. Teaching. And teaching's a little bit different than testimony. It's explaining. It's giving doctrine, if you will. Even though you may not feel qualified, you're sharing the mysteries of Jesus Christ. What else? Friendship. That's what Jesus did more than anything else. He built friendships. He built relationships, and then he spoke into those relationships. And sometimes just a spur of the moment. I think of Zacchaeus in the tree. He just comes up to him and says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. Instant relationship. I know that may not work for most of us, but then again, we don't have Zacchaeus in a tree either. Somebody said evangelism. Okay, so that's a nice fancy word. What does evangelism mean? Sharing Christ. Okay, but what else does that mean? What'd you say? Go get them. Okay. Yeah. So there's an element of going and there's an element of speaking. It's evangelism. Good. Demonstration. Yeah. We'll use the word from last week. Absolutely. Okay. So again, a larger word. Let me break that down. Demonstration would also be living your life. Living your life in front of them. Living your life in front of them would also include not going back on what you believe, not compromising anything. That means when you're hearing coarse joking at work or you're hearing whatever it might be, that you're not taking part in it, that you're not feeling the pressure from your peers or from your surrounding to go into that. It also means that all of the gates that we have, our ear gates, our eye gates, our mouth gate, our nose gate, that our senses, that we are not allowing them to be dictated by the world, that we are not compromising. And when other people look at us, again, as we're living our life in front of them, they see that we're not compromising our faith, and in a way that is sharing our faith. One more. Selfless action. I like both words. Action means you're doing something. Means you're not dormant. You're not sitting still. And selfless means you're not selfish. You're not just thinking of yourself. You're not just consumed with your own schedule, your own ideas, your own plans, your own thoughts. Selfless action towards other people. Fantastic. So sharing your faith. This is what the apostles said was sharing their faith. This was John in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard from the beginning, was Jesus. Remember in John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's speaking about Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, you could even say intently, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. What are they saying? They're saying, we were exposed to Jesus Christ through our senses, and what we have testified to, what we are testifying to, is what we've seen, what we've heard, what we have touched. Likewise, we do the same thing. Though we do not have the incarnate Christ that walks beside us, we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And every single one of us have had interactions with God. Hopefully they're daily. Regardless, we are having interactions with God, and that is what we share with others. It's not just what I know, it's what I have experienced, and that's what they were doing. Verse 2, the life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. There's teaching, there's testimony. I'm going to go ahead and put proclamation on here too. Very similar, of course. Proclamation is speaking it out. I'm sure you've heard, share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Scripture says it is necessary to use words. It's a quaint saying, and I get it. It means living your life in front of others. And if we're not living out the gospel in front of others, then they're not going to receive the gospel from our mouth. It makes total sense, and it's accurate. However, we're not exempt from opening our mouths. We're not exempt from proclaiming what we know, proclaiming what we've been told, what we've heard, what we've seen, what we've touched with Jesus Christ. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Why are they doing it? So that whoever is reading this letter that John is writing to the churches, whoever's reading this, that they too could have fellowship with us. What is their fellowship? Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't complete for them to just know Jesus themselves, but they also had to share Him with others. The purpose was so that they too would have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Ghost. Likewise, so do we. Romans 10, 14 through 17. Says, verse 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Again, sensory perception. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who go out, who are selfless. They get outside of themselves and go to other people. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? It's important sometimes when they do not hear, when they do not accept, maybe when they laugh at us or ridicule us or whatever the case might be, that we think we've done something wrong. We're in error. Maybe we're not cut out for this. This happened to the apostles. This happened to Jesus himself. So we are in very good company. Verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We must speak. Why must we speak? Because they must hear. But the text in Philemon that we're talking about isn't just about them, isn't just about those who will hear. It's also about us and something that will unlock for us. Let's look at it again, Philemon 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Before we talk about the equation, before we talk about what's in it for us, if you will, even though we're supposed to be selfless, it's similar to when we worship. The whole purpose for worship is to worship God because he is worthy. It's to edify him. It's to minister to him. Does he need it? No. Does he deserve it? Absolutely. And so that's why we're doing that. Nothing for ourselves. It's selfless. There's times you don't feel something. It doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. I mean, you might be distracted or something. Maybe that's wrong, but it's for him. It's not for us. However, God is so good. We always benefit from it as well. We move closer to the throne room. We move closer to his heart. We move closer to his face as we're worshiping him, even though it's for him. Likewise, when we are evangelizing, when we are sharing our faith with others, it's most certainly for them, but we have benefits too. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about actively sharing your faith. We can't miss that word. Active means you are doing it ongoing. It's a present tense word. It's not past tense word. Sometimes, and I'm a list maker and a list checker offer, if that's even the correct way of saying that. I love lists. That's just who I am. But sometimes we do this with Christianity. We think, okay, I must share my faith with somebody. And once I do that, check, next. Now what do I go on to? Oh, okay. Now I need to understand the Lord's table better. Now I need to understand the book of Revelation better. Now I need to whatever, because I've already accomplished this. It's not so. This is something that's ongoing. He says, I pray that you may be active. This may be a part of who you are. This may be a part of what you do. This may be ongoing where you are sharing your faith. Sharing your faith. Here's why. This is what it's for us. So that we may have full understanding. When I was a kid, I liked Kool-Aid. Who liked Kool-Aid as a kid? Who still likes Kool-Aid? I don't know. All right. Good. So I was making a pitcher of Kool-Aid. I don't know how old I was. Old enough to know how to, but young enough to make the mistake that I made. I'm looking through the cupboards as I'm making the Kool-Aid. I have the pitcher of water filled. And I notice in the cabinet there is no sugar. Bummer. So I figured I'll make it anyway. It's probably not going to be as sweet, but it looks the same. It was red. It looked the same. So I make it, and I stir it up real good and put the lid on it and get a glass out of the cabinet and put some ice in it and pour it and taste it. And it's so sour, so bitter. Has anybody ever tried Kool-Aid without sugar? Thank you for the brave. Okay, there's more. Okay, good. I'm not completely insane. Good. There was an absolute noticeable missing ingredient. Likewise, notice this, sharing our faith equals full understanding. You know, we cry out, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to sense your presence. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your scripture. I want to know more about the calling that is on my life. Why did you design me the way that you did, with the temperament that I have, with the gifts and with the strengths that I have? Why did you do that? I want to know more. And we're crying out to God. And it's throughout Scripture, part of the answer. Sharing our faith equals full understanding. I'll read it again. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. He's writing to Philemon, and he says to him, I want you to be active in your faith. Notice he doesn't say, so that those who do not believe will come to Christ. Is that important? Absolutely. It's the most important part. And I do not want to say this is more important. It's not. People are dying and going to hell. It's incredibly important. But what he's trying to convey to Philemon, and he's trying to convey to us this morning, is that we're trying to crack the door open. We're trying to say, I want more of you, God. I want to see you more. I want to see you more in your brilliance. More, more, more. I want to know more. And he's saying, you want full understanding? Share me with others. Think about Jesus. How did he make disciples? Think about the 12. By the way, there was more than 12. There was the 120. There was the multitudes. There was many, 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 many people that were following him. Let's just take the 12. The 12 people that he was spending day and night with, that he was, for 3.5 years, best we can tell, walking with them, staying in the same house with them, doing things together. He made disciples not just by spending time with them. In other words, he was not just having Bible studies with them, if you will, and saying, this is what Jesus looks like. This is what Jesus is capable of. This is Jesus' character. He wasn't just doing that. What was he doing? He took them with him. He took them with him as he did work. That's what discipleship is all about. If you are a disciple, if you will, of a plumber, he is going to take you with him on jobs to show you how to work under a sink, how to work on a toilet, how to work under the house, the piping. Takes you with him. Full understanding is when you go with him. Full understanding is when you work with him. Now think of the disciples, how they went to the next level. When Jesus was being persecuted, when Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was about to be crucified. Do you remember? They all left him. We think of Peter denying him 3 times, but they all scattered. You could argue John didn't. He was with Mary, his mother. But for the most part, all of them scattered. Then we see the book of Acts, and something has suddenly happened. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit poured out, no doubt. But they also started sharing their faith. And all of a sudden, these guys are now different people. There's a full understanding. There's something different was opened up. How could that be? Because as they started sharing faith, they had more of an understanding of everything, not only that was Christ, but everything that is theirs in Christ. How do we know what's really ours in Christ until we start getting in front of people? Book of Proverbs says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before kings or great men. In other words, the gift isn't for us. The gift is manifest when we get in front of other people. When we start sharing our faith, suddenly we have a better understanding not only of Jesus and his heart, because his heart is always for others, always for people. And number two, what we have in Christ Jesus. And these things will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will heal the sick and see them recover. They will raise the dead. They will speak in other tongues. All these things will follow those who believe once they are out there, once we are having a full understanding of who Christ Jesus is by sharing our faith. When we proclaim Christ, we have a full understanding of what we have in Christ. The same way when we worship, it's for him, but we get something from it too. when we are sharing Christ with others, it's for them, but we get something too. We have a full understanding. And trust me, we do not have that understanding unless we are actively sharing our faith. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment." Have you ever had something amazing that your wife cooked? My wife's in the nursery. I was going to brag on her. My wife can cook, man. It's so good. You can tell she can cook. And when I eat it, it doesn't seem to be complete unless I tell her, "That was amazing. That was delicious. Thank you so much for cooking it." When we go and see a great movie, it doesn't seem to be complete until we get on the phone to our friend and say, "Wow, you got to see this flick. It was amazing." Same thing. He continues, "It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed." He's referring to worship. He's referring to lovers being God and ourselves as lovers. But again, it correlates very well to sharing our faith as well. It's not complete. Our relationship with God is not complete until it is expressed to others. This is scripture. This is not my opinion. 1 John 1:3-4. We read this earlier. I want to read verses 3-4 again. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard," our perception of who Jesus is. We're giving testimony to that. "So that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." We write this to make our joy complete. Why is John writing this letter? Because until he does, his joy is not complete. We could, I think, it would be okay with John to substitute the word joy as understanding or knowledge or whatever the case might be, that it is incomplete until we share it, until we write it, until we speak it, until we live it. It's incomplete. Do you agree? I want to change gears for a quick second. When we think of sharing our faith, we wrote down a lot of things that I've already erased. And we could keep coming up with more. And then I could ask you, okay, specifically, what does that look like? Specifically, what can you do to live your life out for others? Specifically, what can you do to build friendships? Specifically, what is your plan for being transparent, for having a testimony, for evangelism? We could go through that. We could call that vision. Vision is a glimpse of what the preferred future is. So if my vision is to live my life out in front of others, if my vision is to not compromise my faith, then I've got a plan. I've got a vision in mind. However, we've got to stop. Before we start there, before we start with, okay, now how do I do this? We first have to have a burden. Burden comes before vision. Throughout scripture, you can see in the Old Testament, the prophets and the minor prophets, before the vision of God came, the burden of God came. And so the burden of God is something we've got to touch. The burden of God is something that's got to seep in. It's that full understanding. It's that full understanding of who God is. We must know His burden. And His burden must be our burden. And I'm right along with you. I hope you're where I am. I'm crying out, "God, give me your burden. Give me your burden for people." Because if I just have vision, it's going to last a short time. I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to be unfocused. I'm not going to keep doing those things. And even when I'm doing those things, they don't have the life that they could because I do not have His burden. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your burden for the lost to be upon us right now in the name of Jesus. Give us your burden. Give us your burden, Lord. I want to look at Paul. This is his burden. This is a glimpse of his burden. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1-3, he says, "With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people my Jewish brothers and sisters that are perishing, that do not know Christ, do not accept Him as Christ, do not accept Him as the Messiah. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Yeah, wow. That's the burden of the Lord. So much so that He's saying, look, I don't know if it's possible, but if it were possible, curse me, send me to hell, so that you may save many. That's His heart. I want to show you the polar opposite. Quick video. It's not the best of quality, but I believe this is the polar opposite of His burden.
If your friend was in trouble, you'd help them. Wouldn't you?
Wow, that's heavy. Which one are we closer to? Which one are you closer to? Paul's saying, I'll take their place. I'll do anything. Or are we just watching the world around us drown? Not just the world around us, our friends, somebody we know. Discipleship is not completely realized if we are not making disciples. In John 8:31, Jesus is talking to the Jews that believed in Him, and He said, if you follow my commands, you are my disciples indeed. Throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, if you want to put the Old Testament aside, we have commands to share our faith with others. We have commands to make disciples. Go and make disciples. And if we're not making disciples, then our own discipleship is not completely realized. But even that's not fair. Let's take a word out. It's not just completely. It's not just that we can do more, we can be more, we can understand God more. There's just this little additive to make it complete. No. Discipleship is not realized unless we are making disciples. We are not truly disciples unless we are following His commands. His command is to love others as we love ourselves. If we were drowning, we would ask for help. If we were drowning, we would do everything in our power to grab hold of a life preserver. So, if we're not throwing that life preserver out, if we're not sharing Christ with others, we're truly not disciples. Now, I'm not going into are we saved or not saved. You're not hearing that this morning. But I think we should be careful. What I am saying is we're not disciples unless we are making disciples. Could I have the worship team come back up, please? As they're coming back up on the stage, I want us to stay focused. I want whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now to stay there. I don't want you to focus on it's the ending. We're going to do another song and then we're going to leave here. I want you to stay focused on what God is saying to you this morning. If at all possible, what God is saying to me. Paul wrote to Philemon, verse 6, I pray that you may be active, continually doing, being part of your makeup. We talked last week about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Part of that being new is the reconciliation to God. Part of that reconciliation to God in the same context, a couple verses later, it cannot be divorced from it. We are a new creation. Part of that new nature that is within us is to also have the ministry of reconciliation, to also share Christ with others and implore people as His ambassadors, be reconciled to God. Get back in a relationship with Him. Come and meet my Maker. Come and meet my Savior. We must be active in that. It's a part of our new nature. If we have a new nature, and if you're saved, and you feel like you're saved, you have a new nature, and you feel there's some sort of a disconnect. If your new nature is very selfish and is not looking and concerned for those who are, figuratively speaking, drowning, then there's a disconnect. There's something wrong. He wants to continue to make us new again, to where it is, pardon the expression, second nature to us. It's something that we don't drum up in our own actions, our own ability, our own strength. It's who we are. His burden becomes our burden. No person can draw man to God other than the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within you and lives within me if we are believers of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying all of this as a prayer. And I want to be mindful of that too. I want us to pray this. I'm not saying repeat after me, but as I read this scripture as a prayer, I want you to mean it. If you mean it. If you don't, cool. If you mean it, pray it to God right now. Heavenly Father, just as Paul said to Philemon, Lord, we pray the same thing. I pray that we may be active in sharing our faith. God, activate us. Lord, we repent before you right now. Lord, we surrender our lives. We surrender our selfishness. Lord, we surrender our schedules, the things that we find are so important, the things that we go after, the things that we collect, the things that matter most to us, Lord. We lay them before you. We ask for your burden. Lord, so often we're praying for a vision. We're praying for some sort of an idea of what to do. And all along, we should be praying for your burden. Lord, help us to be active, to be mobilized, to be caring, to be loving, to share our faith with others, so that we may have a full understanding of what is ours in Christ Jesus. God, we want to understand who you are in a greater way. We want to have a relationship with you in a deeper, more impactful way. Lord, we want you to transform us continually, Lord, into that new creation you have called us to be. God, we pray for this disconnect that is within us, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, that's hindering it, whatever it is that we just maybe didn't understand or didn't know. Lord, we are liable for your word now, Lord. If we didn't know before, if we didn't hear before, if we weren't listening before, God, today we are now liable for your word. Lord, I pray that we would have a full understanding of you and a full understanding of what is ours through you. What you have given us, what you have placed within us, you have imparted to us by your Spirit. And God, just as Paul told Timothy, Lord, help us, God, to stir that flame, to stir that gift that is within us, to fan the flame, to stoke the fire. Maybe, God, for some of us to start the fire. We want to serve you. We want to know you. Knowing you is serving you. Serving you is knowing you. It's who we are in you. Show us who we are in you. Thank you, Father. Minister to us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.